The church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen again.
Amen.
And one more time for the Holy Spirit. Let's give our men's chorus a big hand of encouragement. What a blessing they are. And really all of our choral units, that's what I call them, our choral units, whether it's the men's choir or the women's choir, whether it's the super senior choir, which we'll be singing in a couple of weeks for National Grandparents Sunday, or whether it is our generations choir, whether it is our youth choir, our teen choir, our comfort choir. We've got about six or seven choirs under the direction of Sister Betty L. Young, and accompanied by our chief musician, Brother Minister Aaron Brooks, and they always do a phenomenal job. Let's give them another hand of encouragement. To God be the glory for the great things that He has done. I'm going to invite everyone to stand to your feet and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter number 6. Amen. Joshua chapter 6. I want to begin reading in verse number 15. While you're turning there, I want to acknowledge the presence of a colleague and a friend, a academician and a theologian, the Reverend Gordon Mikowski. Is it the Reverend Gordon? It is the Reverend Gordon Mikowski. Raise your hand, Gordon, right here in the center. Give God a praise offering for my brother in Christ. He is a professor of ethics, a practical theology at Princeton Theological Seminary, and he and I and a few others of us are working on Mercer County's history of race and its connection to the American Colonization Society. So stay tuned for a pretty interesting presentation that we think is going to be relevant to this county, particularly around issues of which, like the ones about which we're talking today, even related to Radass Hearns. So, and he's got some guests with them, and we look forward to meeting them after the service as well. Say amen. You've located the text. The Bible reads as follows. Verse number 15 of Joshua, the sixth book of the Old Testament, Joshua chapter number 6, verse number 15. Chapter number 6, Joshua, verse number 15. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day, and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold, and vessels of bronze and iron, are consecrated to the Lord, they shall come into the treasury of the Lord." Go to verse number 26 with me. "Then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, 'Cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city, Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates.' So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country." Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify, may it sanctify the people of God. Beloved, I pray that you would pray with me today on the title of today's sermon: Don't Rebuild That Foundation. Don't rebuild that foundation. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will indeed be acceptable in your eyesight, Lord, you who are our strength, and Lord, you who are our Redeemer. We ask now that you would indeed illuminate somebody's mind, teach us something we did not know, encourage somebody's heart, help us to learn that, know that trouble doesn't last always. And God, I pray that you would convict somebody's soul, that they may come, all of us may come into a closer walk with thee, O God. And we also pray, Lord, that somebody for the first time may come to know you in the pardon of their sin. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray it, that all of God's children, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you and God keep you is our prayer. Brother Wayne, just check and see if that did come through or not. Just check and see if that did come through or not up in the booth there. Beloved, I've announced to you last Sunday that the Lord has led me to do a mini sermon series on the Hebrew and Greek word foundations. And starting way back on July the 19th, when we did our church fellowship, I went away on the cruise that I've been doing where I serve as chaplain, as I mentioned to you, and the Lord had me to amplify that theme on the cruise and do a two-day Bible study on the word foundations. And it is that Bible study on that cruise 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that led me to come back and institute this four-week additional sermon series about the word foundation and foundations. And so today is then the second iteration of this four-part series on foundations, but really it will all together be five parts. July the 19th, and I was away the 26th of July and the first Sunday in July, the 2nd of August. Last Sunday, the 9th, we spoke about foundations, and we spoke out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. This week, we're talking about foundations again, and I'm preaching out of Joshua chapter number 6. Next week, the 23rd of August, and the following week, the 30th of August, the Lord will have me to do, if the Lord say the same and delays his coming, two more sermon series that makes in the month of August four parts plus July 19th, the five-part sermon series. The Lord might have me do more, but that's all that the Lord has led me to do at this time. The first Sunday in September, the 6th of September, we're going to invite the Reverend Dr. Samuel Reeves, who, Gordon, I hope you can come back on that Sunday because he's the pastor of the Providence Baptist Church, the church founded by the late Reverend Lot Carey, who was an ex-slave in Virginia, bought his freedom, and was part of the first wave of American descendants who went back to Africa and helped establish the then colony of the city of Monrovia that became the Republic of Liberia. And so that will lead us into September, and then thereafter we will be into the fall, and the Lord will have me to do something else in addition. So that's the forecast over the next 4 weeks. We pray that you will come ready and yearning to learn more about what the Bible has to say in regards to this word foundation. I shared with you each of the last couple of times I preached about this, that the Hebrew word for foundation is this word yasad, Y-A-S-A-D, and it may also appears as Y-A-S-A-W, either one, but the Hebrew word yasad is the word we find in the Old Testament text, literally meaning the physical foundation of the building. And in the case that it is most often referred to, the physical foundation of the temple of God. And if you recall, on July the 19th, I talked about the destruction of the first temple in 586 BC, and the rebuilding of that temple in successive ways of re-immigrating Jewish pilgrims who re-immigrated back to Jerusalem, some in 722 BC and others as the dates went on. And so the people of God cried as they saw the temple, the foundation of the second temple, reestablished. And I shared in that series of sermons, and even again last Sunday, and I want you to keep getting it, that if God should allow for the destruction of one's first foundation, that I need you to know that God is capable of rebuilding another foundation. And that, as a spiritual point, is enough, I pray, to speak to some of us who are in the middle of having our first foundation either rocked, decaying, cracked, and or literally and utterly destroyed. And so I urge you, I admonish us, the people of God, to understand the relevant lessons of God's word from the front to the back, from Genesis to Revelation, that there is a relevant contemporary application of God's word to our lives today, and that ought not be missed. That all of us are not guaranteed in life that our foundations won't be rocked and even destroyed. But knowing that God is in the masonry business. And I'm not calling God a mason. Let me be clear about that. But he's in the masonry business. He can reestablish your foundation. And the text gives us a clarity about this, literally about the second foundation of the second temple that was laid in the book of Ezra and what it is we glean out of that lesson. That word, if you look in Hebrew, is yesod. But the word in Greek is the word themelios, and I've talked to us enough about the fact that that word themelios is, if you take the first five letters, again, the word themelios, the theme that we see in those first five letters gives us a clarity of sense and understanding that that word is that the theme, the English version of the theme, the Greek word for foundation, it runs, that which runs through a presentation, that which holds it all together. And I simply want us to know that when we talk about this notion of themelios, and in the Greek, it is a very powerful translation of the text that helps us to understand that the foundation is the thing that holds it all together. And if your foundation isn't strong, your house won't be strong. If your foundation isn't strong, as pretty as the stained glass windows and the pews are, it won't be strong. It won't last. The foundation, the thing that holds it all together, must be strong in order to build a strong building on top of a strong foundation. Amen, somebody. So these two words, yesod in Hebrew and themelios in Greek, are the words that we see mentioned for this word foundation. And what I want you to know is that the word foundation is mentioned various times throughout the book. If you do a word throughout the Bible, if you do a word study, you'll find that the word is mentioned some 50 to 60 times. And often in the Old Testament, as I've mentioned, in relation to the physical building, the physicality of a building. If you look in the New Testament, there is the relationship to a new spiritual building. And so therefore, in the Old, the physical building, in the New, the spiritual building. But how many of you know that that which is spiritual must also have some application in the material realm, and that which is material must have some spiritual dimension. And so therefore, I just don't build stuff without understanding the spiritual dimension of that stuff. I don't build a career without understanding the spiritual dimension of the career God is calling me to build. I don't build a family without understanding the spiritual dimension of what God is calling me to build. I don't build a building without understanding the spiritual dimensions of that which God has called me to usher into that building. In the same way, in our spiritual sense, we then shouldn't get so heavenly minded with no earthly good. I'm so spiritual, but I don't do anything in the realm of the material. I know a few folk like that. Nose is high in the air. Theology at a 10, but their application is at a 0. Amen, somebody. They can quote it, they can sing it, they can pray it, but they can't live it. That's another sermon for another day. And so therefore, then, this integration of the physicality, the material with that which is intangible, the immaterial, is so important. That's why Paul says, right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 58, the mortal must put on the immortality. The corruptible must put on the incorruptible. That which we are now is not that which we're going to be when we get over to heaven. And yet, I can't deny that I am where I am right now. But I'm striving to get to where God wants me to be. The mortal must put on the immortality. The corruptible must put on the incorruptible. And so, therefore, this relationship between the buildings must all be predicated on the foundations. When you do the word study about foundations, it is mentioned, again, some 50 to 60 times in the Bible. And what's interesting, I'm open to being proven wrong about this. I've read enough that I think, and I've been told and by those who've written about it, that the word foundation, yesod, is not mentioned anywhere in the first five books of the Old Testament. So in the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch, you're not going to find the word yesod mentioned, or yesah, its derivative, mentioned. But as you go further in the text, in the historical books, it is mentioned a number of times. If you go into the wisdom books, it is mentioned a number of times. If you go into the prophetic books, it is mentioned a number of times. If you go into the gospels, it is mentioned a number of times. If you go into the one historical book that we cite in the New Testament, the book of Acts, the history of the church, it is mentioned a number of times. If you go into Paul's 13 writings of the epistles, his epistles, it is mentioned a number of times. If you go into the Petrine writings, the letters of Peter, they're mentioned a number. If you go into the Johannine writings, the letters of John, it is mentioned a number of times. It is curious to me that this word yesod or yesah or themelios is not mentioned in the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, but it is mentioned throughout the remaining 61 books of the text. And so what is the significance and importance of foundation? And I have said it to you, and I want to keep reminding you, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is so important. Verse number 11, there is no other foundation than that which has already been laid, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen, someone. Jesus is our foundation. The question becomes, how do we build on top of Jesus as our foundation? And if you don't have Jesus as your foundation of your relationship, if you don't have Jesus as your foundation of your career, if you don't have Jesus as the foundation of your marriage, if you don't have Jesus as the foundation of your church, if you don't have Jesus as the foundation of your movement, it all is going to come to naught. You better have Jesus at the foundation of the very thing that you are trying to build. There is no other foundation than that which has already been laid, Jesus the Christ. So what is it about this word that we continue? It continues to fascinate me. And so today I am led in Joshua to not speak about the rebuilding of a foundation. And I want to back up and talk about the destruction of certain foundations. Because some of you know, there's some things that we need to build up, and there's also some things we need to tear down. Come on, somebody. There's some things that we need to let go of. There's some people we need to let go of. There's some situations we need to let go of. There's some hurt feelings that we need to let go of. There's some anger that we need to let go of. There's some resentment that we need to let go of. There's some jealousy. There's some, all of those negative human emotions that I preached about before. You need to let that foundation go so that God can build another foundation in its place. And yet some of us are slow to let that foundation go. And I just want to say that if by chance God hears, if not if by chance God hears your prayers, God will hear your prayers. If you allow God to remove that foundation, whatever it is, and in this case, I'm talking about negative now. If you allow God to remove that negative foundation, then the next statement, a point I want to make to you is, don't you then rise up and try to rebuild the very foundation that God has taken away from you and try to liberate you, because so many of us are wrestling with things that we need to let go of. And when we let go of them, some of us are tricked and duped by the enemy. Satan, the deceiver, the devil, not the little man in the red suit and the pitchfork and the red, you know, not him. I'm talking about the sure presence of evil that causes us to go backwards instead of forward. That causes us to go back to places of hurt and shame and pain and anger and vengeance and resentment, instead of when God has pulled you out of it, don't go back into it, because God wants to deliver you from it. And that is the story of the story of Joshua's text today. I don't have time to deal with the power of Joshua's march around the city of Jericho. But what I have to remind you of is that Jericho stood in the location and direction that the people of God were being led to towards the promised land. And a lot of us think that after Joshua conquered Jericho, that it was a free march onto the promised land. Let me help you understand that once Jericho falls, there's some other Jerichos you're going to have to deal with up ahead. And once you get over that obstacle and over that hump, don't think it's peaches and cream and easing sailing for the rest of your life. Because point of fact, if you are truly serving the Lord, you're going to have some trials and some tribulations that pop up in your situation. But the Bible says that Jesus says, be of good cheer, for I've already overcome the world. That lets me know that if Jesus can overcome his obstacles, don't you know all I've got to do is hold on until God brings me through it and delivers me out of it. I don't want to rush up ahead without dealing with the centrality of Jericho. Jericho was that first major obstacle that the people of God encountered after Joshua crosses them over the river towards the promised land. Just because you cross the river doesn't mean you're in the promised land. You've got to march a little bit further to get to the promised land. And if I can just park the car for a minute and put a quarter in the meter and simply say, some of us think our journey is over when we cross the river, but I need you to know there's some other things you need to keep doing in order to achieve the Canaan that God has promised for your life. It is not easy, but anything worth having is worth fighting for. And I believe God is looking for some fighters who are not going to give up so easily. And even though you can't see your promise land, I want you to get your goggles on and your eyes, glasses on, and look up ahead in the distance and say, I can see Canaan up ahead. I know there's Joshua, there's Jericho in between, but I'm going to get to Canaan, my promised land. And I can't tell you exactly what it looks like, but I can tell you if you keep on marching, it's up ahead. I can tell you God's got a blessing waiting for you up ahead. And I'm not trying to be so sugary and so heavenly minded that I don't understand that there are obstacles that are going to be placed in your path. That is what Jericho is about. Can you deal with the obstacles? Let me say that again. Can you deal with the obstacles? Let me say it a third time. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. Can you deal with the obstacles? Because so many of us let one little minuscule obstacle derail us, discourage us, and dissuade us from getting to where God wants you to be. And I need you to understand that God is in the mountain moving business, but you got to stay on the journey and not give up the fight and keep fighting for what that which God has purpose in your life. Let me just be a little facetious. Bring a little levity to the conversation. Some of us get upset because folks sit in our seat at church. One little obstacle. And you didn't become discombobulated. I'm going to leave that church. They sat in my seat. Or maybe I can be this. There used to be names on the back of the placards. And I respect that now. Believe me, I respect it. But I've had some folks say, I'm upset. So why are you upset? My name is off the placard, off the back of the pew. I said, Lord, how quickly can I get a new placard to put on back of the pew? You all getting what I'm trying to say, don't you? One little obstacle we let get in our way and total mess up our train. Train wreck. Throw in the towel. Shut it down. I'm finished. Because of one little obstacle. But I need you to understand what Joshua did was what God told him to do. March around that obstacle one time, one day. And on the seventh day, march around that obstacle seven times. Seven times. Folk ask what you're doing. I'm just marching. Why are you marching? God told me to. Why God tell you to? You just wait and see. You'll find out. Do I have any marchers in the house today? Anybody willing to look crazy for the Lord? They don't understand why you do what you do. They don't understand why you pray the way you pray. They don't understand why you fast the way you fast. They don't understand why you shout the way you shout. Go ahead and look crazy for the Lord. But soon and very soon, God's going to tear that kingdom down. And when God gets finished, do I have a witness here today? God can tear your obstacle down. I believe God is looking for more marchers than he is complainers. So Jericho represents the obstacle that stands in your way of getting to where God wants you to be. And the Bible says that God had Joshua march around that. It's right there in the book. Read chapter 6 again. In point of fact, he mentions it twice. He mentions it in the first 10 verses. And then starting at verse number 15, he mentions it again. And the Bible says that this city was slated for destruction. That should have made a few folks shout right there. Because although your obstacle is in your path, it's slated for destruction. Y'all still missed it. Although you're dealing with some issues, they are slated for removal. You don't have the date, you don't have the time, but they are slated for displacement. They are slated for removal. God is in the mountain moving business. God is in the door opening business. And you just got to keep on marching until God displaces your obstacle. The other thing I need you to know about Jericho is that the Bible says there's some things in there that are cursed. Don't pick up some stuff once the city has come down. Did I mention that the city did come down? Did I mention that?
The city did come down. Did I mention that your obstacle can come down? Did I remind anybody in here today that if you live long enough, you ought to have some tangible empirical evidence of how God has brought some obstacles down in your life, and that that empirical evidence ought to be fuel for your future endeavors, to know that if I face another obstacle, let me look backward and look at the obstacle that God already tore down. Because if he can tear down that one, he can tear down this one. Great concept in our theological framework. The immutability of God. The immutability of God. I-M-M-U-T-A-B-I-L-I-T-Y. The immutability of God. What are you talking about, preacher? It simply means God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If he blessed you yesterday, don't you know he can bless you now? If he blesses you now, don't you know he can bless you tomorrow? Don't give up on God, because God is immutable. God does not change. And when your friends change, and when your church change, and when your job changes, and when your feelings change, and when your money changes, don't you know that God does not change? God does not change. And if I can rush on to my ultimate and last point. Verse number 26. Look at it again. Put it up on the screen. Verse number 26. The second to the last slide, verse number 26. The text says, then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and build this city, Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest, he shall set up its gates. It is a warning, beloved, that God, once he destroys your Jericho, doesn't want you to rebuild it over again. Once he tears down those walls, there is the warning from God himself not to rebuild the same walls he just tore down. I'm not a domestic violence specialist, but I've done enough counseling with women and a few men who have been in domestic violence, intimate partner violence situations. I never forget, as a 3, 4, 5-year-old kid, you've heard me tell the story, because my life changed. I was displaced from my mom and put into L.A. County's foster care system. But before I was 5, I remember my mom's boyfriend hitting her and abusing her. And so I never knew what the terms were. But all I knew is that it hurt mama. And it not only hurt her physically, but it hurt her to be hit in front of her baby boys. And I'm so glad today that whatever God has done in my life, he's done it in such a way that I knew that that was not the way a man ought to treat a woman. And so therefore, but many kids grow up internalizing the pain of domestic violence because that's all that they know, and they have, the abnormal has become normalized in their lives. And without blaming the victim of domestic violence, usually the woman, I need to keep begging her. Once God delivers you from the brokenness of this relationship, how can we get you to a point where you don't go back? Not only to that broken relationship, but to any other brother that comes along talking slick and trying to mess up her life again. Once God breaks you out of your Jericho, how do you not go back and rebuild those walls again? Listen, I can talk not only about domestic violence, I can talk about abuse on folks' jobs. But because we're so hungry to get to the next level, we allow folk to abuse us. And then you complain about the abuse, but we stay in it. And again, I want to be careful about the role of power and all of that stuff and oppressed people and abused people. And why they might stay where they are. But I want you to hear me clearly. God wants not only tear Jericho down. He wants you to take you outside of Jericho. To the next level of your development. And if I can just pray that somebody hears me today. Don't rebuild the wall. It doesn't say the wall. Whoever builds this city, Jericho, and put it up there again on the screen, and lay its foundation, he shall lay its foundation with his firstborn. In the book of 1 Kings, there's a real live application to this. Put up the next screen. 1 Kings chapter number 16, verse number 34 says, in his days, Hiel, the Bethelite, built what city? What did God already say in Joshua chapter 6, verse 26? Don't rebuild Jericho. And whoever does shall do it at the price of what? His firstborn. Hiel, the Bethelite, built Jericho. He laid its foundation. And with the loss of Abiram, his what? And set up its gate with the loss of his youngest son, who? Segub. According to the word of the Lord, as we found in the book of Joshua, the son of Nun. All I'm trying to say is, don't play with God. Can I just put it in the street vernacular? Where we can get the hay out of the barn. Some preacher used to say, Armstrong, you need to learn how to bring the hay out of the loft and bring it down to the floor where the folk can get to it. Bottom line is, when God destroys a negative foundation in your life, how do you move beyond it and not rebuild it as you walk towards your Canaan? That's all God told me to say. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen again. And one more time for the Holy Spirit. Everybody standing to their feet. Everybody standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconess, clergy, ministers, help me extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. I don't know to whom I was preaching today. I pray everybody, because truth be told, we all have done this. I don't care if you're black, white, if you're male or female, I don't care if you're gay, lesbian, straight, transgender, questioning, I don't care if you're rich or poor, I don't care if you're urban or suburban, rural, I don't care if you're immigrant, citizen, young or old, truth be told, we've all rebuilt some stuff. And not fully let go of some stuff that we should have let go of. And I've already told you, I've established the fact that God can rebuild a new foundation for you. And sometimes he might have to destroy the first one to get you to the second one. But those negative ones, we have a sense of it. That this isn't good for me. God, asking you to deliver me. And you got to believe God can deliver you. Some of y'all are living witnesses of how God brought you out of a Jericho-like situation. Do I have a witness today? But I would surmise that for every Jericho once, there's some other ones that we didn't quite let go of.
wants you to be delivered fully so God can take you to where God wants you to go. That's what God wants for our lives. So if you're here today, sister, come to join the church with us. Sister Charlene, you come to join. Amen. Come up for. Amen. Let's give God a praise offering. Let's talk to our. Go ahead and start with the deacon and deaconess. Sister Charlene comes to our Bible studies, and she's been faithful in sharing with us in worship. Our deacons and deaconess will talk with her. If there's anyone else who wants to receive the gift, the free gift, you don't have to work for it, the free gift of salvation, you can have it today. Let's give God another praise offering. God bless you, young brother.